Hello and welcome back to the Dialcast, hosted by myself, Ash Wilson. Every week, we'll be bringing you all the latest and exclusive news from Dial Square Football Club. We'll also be providing you exclusive interviews with the board, players, and fans to keep you entertained as often as we can with all things relating to Dial Square FC. Last time out, we had Membership Secretary Joanne Tester on the show. Thank you to those that listen. And if you haven't, then please give it a listen. We're on all the usual platforms. It was an interview that was very well received, so thanks for all the nice comments. So then, who is in the hot seat tonight? I said Chairman Stuart Morgan had a special guest lined up for us all, so without further ado, I'm delighted to tell you that former Arsenal player Ryan Smith has kindly agreed to join me this evening. Ryan, how are you? And welcome onto the Dialcast.
I'm doing good, thank you, and I appreciate you guys giving me the opportunity to come on.
Yeah, mate, honestly, real coup for us, mate. Especially a bit with the club being a really early days, so to get someone of your caliber on the show. So thanks very much for agreeing to come on. Right, we'll go right back to the beginning, Ryan. Where did you grow up? What was your introduction into football?
Right, so I'd say the love for the game started for me when I watched the World Cup 94 in USA, and that whole Brazil team and the Italian team and various other teams and players that were playing. I just fell in love with the game from that point, and yeah, it was a special tournament and a real pivotal tournament for me in terms of developing that interest and love for the game. But I'm from like around Dalston way, so near Newington Green, in between Newington Green and Dalston, Mayville Estate. That's where I'm from. So it's actually on the border of Islington and Hackney. They You cross the road, you're in Hackney. You cross the other way, and you're in Islington. So I kind of grew up in both boroughs. But yeah, just near Dalston, not too far from Highbury.
Yeah, brilliant, mate. Going back to that 94 World Cup, that is still to this day my favourite ever World Cup. Just loved it, even though England weren't there. It was just brilliant. I remember sitting at my nan and granddad's watching it, and yeah, it was cracking. So you grew up there.
Amazing.
Were you an Arsenal fan when you grew up?
Yeah, the whole family's Arsenal. To be honest, I don't remember not being an Arsenal fan. I had all the kits and stuff as well, and my mum was a really avid Arsenal supporter. So yeah, from birth, I guess.
Yeah, so what about your youth career? Where did you start out? Who spotted you and who gave you your chance?
Yeah, so we moved from Dalston to Highbury when I was like 9, and where we lived around the corner there was some fields, Highbury Fields. So when we moved there, we went for a family walk, and there was a team playing. I must have been around 9 years old, and I remember saying to my mum, "Can you ask them if I can join in?" And she was like, "Well, you can't join in because you haven't got your boots, you haven't got any football stuff, but I'll ask and see if you can play next week." So she asked, and they agreed and said, "Yeah, come back next week, no problem." So went back the week after, and I remember the first thing I did, we played like a, I think it was like a five-a-side match on the grass, and I got the ball and dribbled like three or four players, went around the goalie and put it in. And funnily enough, the coach was like, you're not going to make it playing like that. You need to use your teammates," which I half understood. But it's just me expressing myself as a kid after seeing players like Romario and Ronaldo and those guys, do it on a weekly basis almost. So whilst that was happening, my mum was on the bench. There's like a park, the field bench, near where we were training. And an Arsenal scout and a Sunday league football manager rolled into one. He was walking past and he saw what I did. So he approached my mum and said, "Who's that boy?" And she said, "That's my son." So he gave her his card and said, "Look, get in touch. He's definitely got something from what I've just saw." So then from there, I started playing for his Sunday team, Tufnell Park, and then yeah, from there, you know, the journey really and truthfully began. I joined West Ham after my first year with Tufnell Park, and I was there for a year. And then a year after, I remember getting a call from Liam Brady. I say I got a call, my mum got a call, and the rest is history, mate. Went to Arsenal, and yeah, didn't look back.
It's a great story. It's amazing what you can remember with the little details as well from when you're young. I
Yeah.
think I think that's a bit bad of that coach you mentioned at the start there, of what you were just saying about you know not
Yeah.
going to make it. So, I mean, there's so many coaches these days that I think as kids you've got to let kids express themselves. Okay, some are greedy. Yeah, fine. So what? Do you know what I mean? That's you just got you've got to let players and kids have got to have that freedom. Do you know what I mean? Or if they don't enjoy the game, then it comes too rigid, in my opinion.
Totally agree. Totally agree. And I think as well, sorry to stop you. I think in that sense you're right. And it was a different time. But a lot of coaches, you know, some are very fixated on the way they want to play. But just bearing in mind that I just, you know, joined in the session. You know, I don't know the team, don't know the players. Yeah, you know, what you said is completely correct. You know, you shouldn't really be driving that out of a player early on. But it is what it is, I guess.
Yeah, but you got your own back, and you signed for Arsenal. Had you rest of your youth career there? Tell us about your debut, Ryan, because you did play alongside a certain Cesc Fabregas on your debut. I believe it was in the League Cup.
So, kind of crazy how that came about, really. It was my first year as a scholar. So I just left school and had a really, really good pre-season. And then, you know, I went from playing one under 17s game, finished the first half, and then, you know, the under 19s coach, Don Howe, the legendary Don Howe, he said, look, bring Ryan over here. We want him to play second half for the 19s. And then, you know, 2 weeks later, I was playing for the reserves. And then, you know, a couple weeks after that, I was with the first team. It was insane. But that debut was really, really special. A few of us made our debuts that night, and yeah, you know, it was it. You know what? It didn't actually go to plan in terms of how we got our result and how we got through, but in terms of, you know, enjoyment and, you know, first time being out at Highbury in an official match, it was incredible.
Yeah, what's Highbury like running out to on the pitch?
It was, I mean, for me, having gone to games at Highbury as a young primary school kid, to then, you know, quite a few years later playing there, it was absolutely incredible. And of course, nervous, but at the same time, at that point in my career, you know, I was very much, you know, trying to do as best as I can anytime I played. And you know, I took the opportunity with both hands, and I really enjoyed it. And yeah, ended up taking a penalty. It went to penalties in the end as well. I took one, converted that. It was really special, really special.
Yeah, I can imagine it's every boy's dream playing for their the team they support, and you know you lived out the dream. What sort of advice did you get from some of the senior team? What sort of advice did they pass down to you on the training pitch? I'm always interested to know in stuff like this and what certain players said and
Yeah,
stuff like
it's a
that.
good question. So I remember like the training was always super intense. It was never, no one took it easy. You got to remember this is that invincible era, that same season as well. So, you know, you have to give 100% in every session. Otherwise, you had people like Martin Keown and, you know, various other players, Razor, you know, they weren't unfair with their demands. You know, they're just natural born winners and leaders, so you had to give 100%. And there was one time where I probably wasn't putting it in training as much as I should have. And Keo, and I'm thankful for this because he gave me a dressing down in front of everyone. But I learned a lot from that, and it just goes to show, you know, the mentality and the desire that those players had back then. You couldn't, you know, you wouldn't get away with anything. But the advice was always positive, always constructive, and you know, very geared towards improving you as a player and as a person.
Yeah, can imagine. What an era, what a team. And then Ryan, it all went kind of wrong, didn't it, mate? You were really unlucky with your injury. You just tell our listeners just about that and what happened there and how the club dealt with it.
So in that same season, I think I was like 3 games in. I played three games for the first team at that point, and then I played in a reserve game against Ipswich, and was dribbling at a player, knocked it past him, and then this fella came out of nowhere and absolutely crunched into my leg while it was planted. And you know, that was I knew there and then, you know, that was a really, really, really bad injury, and you know, that's why Arsene came out in the paper, in the press, and was like, you know, it's uncalled for challenges like that, which it was. But you know, at the same time, very unfortunate for me. And like you say, it was, I knew when I was trying to come back from that knee injury that it was the beginning of an end, which is unfortunate because it was in the same season I made my debut. So yeah, it's just the way things go sometimes.
You seem quite placid about it all. You don't sound like you've got any bitterness in your voice towards this individual. We won't name on the show. Won't go down that road. Yeah, you seem quite calm about it, mate. You seem quite placid about it. But and fair play to you for that because a lot of players, this is your dream has effectively been ruined by some hatchet man who's coming at 90 miles per hour and put your knee out, And then obviously the couldn't be kept on at the club, and you went off on loan, didn't you, next?
So I came back from that injury. It was never the same. And then I went on loan to Leicester. Enjoyed it there. It was good. Had a good time. But I just found myself getting to like the, I don't know, 65th minute of games, and my knee was like throughout the rest of my career, was in agony after that amount of time on the pitch. So I couldn't train properly and stuff. So it was a really tough decision to continue playing because I had the opportunity to stop as well. But I didn't want to give up that opportunity because there's so many kids out there that would love to be in my shoes. And you know, I'd worked so hard as a kid to reach that point. So I felt I owed it to myself, even if I wasn't ever fully match fit throughout the rest of my career, that I just wanted to continue because I loved the game and I'd worked so hard to get to that point. So yeah, it is what it is. Went on loan to Leicester, enjoyed it. I mean, we had the pleasure of beating Tottenham in the FA Cup, and a few other good games there. It was a good time, in terms of personally, at least anyway. And I met some good people like Dion Dublin and, you know, various other players that were playing there as well. Ian Hume and a few others, Elvis Hammond. So yeah, enjoyed it there. Went back to Arsenal, had a conversation with Arsene, and I actually said to him, you know, I think I should move on because, you know, I'm not really going to play here. I'm not in a condition that I'm in. So I need to go out there and at least like try and do something for myself. And he was actually reluctant, but in the end he accepted it, and yeah, kind of began the sort of journey hopping around, not being able to sign for a club on a long-term deal because of my knee. So it was tough, but you know, I did enjoy parts of it for sure.
Yeah, you did have did have spells as well with Derby, Mill, Southampton, and Palace as well. What was out of those clubs in England that you joined, the few clubs that you played for, what would you say was your favourite time with any of them? And what was the best club to play for and the best manager to play under out of those few clubs that I've just mentioned?
Good question. I'd say I'd say that loan period at Leicester was my favorite. And I'd say I enjoy playing under Craig Levein because, to be honest, I mean, he would say to the boys, look, just give the ball to Ryan, which was nice, you know, and I kind of had sort of free rein there. So I enjoyed it there probably the most, other than Arsenal. And I'd say maybe there was a spell at Millwall as well. But the issue was everywhere I went, I was like having surgery. I was, impacted by some form of injury. So it was tough to sort of say I really enjoyed it. But yeah, I'd say probably Leicester myself. Yeah, I'd say Leicester.
It's funny how you mentioned Craig Levein there, because I live in Edinburgh these days, and I've got plenty of Hearts supporting mates, and they're not too keen on Levein. But I actually met him in an airport in Belfast, and I thought he was a lovely bloke. Stood there and chatted to me and
Yeah.
messages for a while. He was just unlucky at Hearts, where he just a few wrong signings and that. But and I think he was, the stress of the job as well got to him. And because back in the day, he was really well regarded as a player and a manager, Craig Levein. So,
Yeah.
a few of my mates listening, if they when they listen to this, oh my God, Craig Levein, I know. You went stateside, didn't you, Ryan? I was just looking at your career. The reliable source that is Wikipedia, and you went. Well, what was America like? How different is the culture? Football wise over there. I mean, I'm not talking about fans, I'm talking about on the pitch, in the dressing room and stuff like that. So you went to Sporting Kansas, I do believe.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna be honest with you. The first, I basically had enough in England, because it just weren't working for me, and I weren't getting any sort of long-term contracts. So I was hoping, maybe going out there would change that. And I just felt like, look, I know I haven't got long, so why not go and enjoy it out there and just see what it's like? But I wasn't too keen to begin with. I'll be honest with you. I missed my first flight that I was meant to take out there, and I missed it on purpose. So, yeah, I mean, I was a bit apprehensive. However, I've said it before. Going out there was a breath of fresh air for me. The game is at that point. It was definitely picking up pace because Beckham was out there, and the profile of the game was much bigger. But going out there and seeing the ability of the boys and the facilities, and remember, playing away is a flight, so it's not, you're flying through different time zones at times to play matches. But the beautiful thing about it was that wherever we went, we spent the night after the game. So you got to go out after the game, restaurant or whatever it may be, and see these places. And it was a really good time for me. I really enjoyed it there. And there were, because they've got a big influx of Central and South American players, the level was actually pretty decent, to be honest.
Yeah, that's one place where I'd love to, one, watch a game, and two, just visit in general. I've never been to the States, and I've just got to go, even if it's once. I'd love to go to a game as well. As you said, MLS has picked up loads in the last few years. There's new extension franchises starting left, right, and center. And I reckon I'll, and I've I said this to my pals once. I said, give that league by 2030, I reckon it'd be the biggest league in the world. I
I
reckon so.
wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if it's one of them. I'll tell you that. I think it'd be top five. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, look at the money floating about in it as well. There's a lot of the teams are owned by multi millionaires and stuff, and you just got to look at the NBA and the NFL and all that, and they're all the biggest leagues in their respective sports. So I don't know why football can't be that as well in America. It's massive, the market. I thought China was going to be, but I don't know about Chinese football a minute, but America is definitely, especially with fans as well. Their attendances have shot right up from what they used to be. Like, there's sellouts everywhere, left, right, and centre. So it's definitely, so it's the fastest growing fan for fans anyway in sport. So
Yeah,
yeah, I reckon
yeah.
it's going there. You got on a plane again, Ryan? I've got to sunny climates again in Greece, and that's where it all ended up, didn't it, mate? That's all finished up there. What was your time like? What was your time like there?
It was strange, to say the least. Playing there was, again, for me, I looked at that and I thought, right, Gary Lewin said by 26 I'll probably be done. My knee doesn't feel great whatsoever. I was on my, I think, sixth surgery at that point. So I just said to myself, closer to home, it's the top league there, might as well just give it a go. So I actually ended up signing for a year with a year option, and the option, strangely enough, was in my favor. However, it was, yeah, it wasn't, Greece wasn't, it's very, how can I put this without getting myself in trouble? They say it's corrupt. I'd go along the lines of saying it probably is.
Wow. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I didn't realize that at all.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain things that, like, there's, rumors and whispers and stuff, but, we had also, like, aside from all the rumors and stuff, you had the owner coming in at halftime, going mad at players. Like, it was crazy. But yeah, I mean, look, again, a good experience, met some good people there. But yeah, just a bit of a weird place, in terms of, what goes on there. And if you read into things, Olympiakos and other teams have got in trouble. So yeah, Greece is, although a beautiful place, at that point when I was there, it was kind of crazy. But I enjoyed where I was. And like I said, I made good friends. But I ended up, yeah, after 6 months, I just said enough's enough. I can't do it no more. So I went home and began my journey outside of football, and embarked on a few different routes to go down.
Yeah, what did you do after you finished in Greece and Ryan?
So to be honest, I took like a year to sort of, I mean, I was trying to apply with football agencies to work with them. Oddly, none of them responded. So, I figured, all right, well, someone who's played football but doesn't have any qualifications, it's not always going to be easy. But I didn't envision being out of any sort of environment to earn money for like a year, which I was. So anyway, I remember speaking with Cesc, and he said to me, "Why don't you try and help me source some opportunities for social media, and some commercial deals?" So I jumped on that, and that went pretty well. I enjoyed that, to be honest, and it kind of pushed me in the direction of the social media marketing route, which is the phase I went down for 3 years after that. So I really enjoyed that. I worked with some great players like Di Maria, Mascherano, Bolasie, who's, still a very good friend of mine. Still speak with guys like Cesc as well, and friends with most of the Arsenal players I played with back then. So yeah, it was really enjoyable, and I did that for like 3 years, 3.5 years.
Oh, I'm glad you found something, mate, because a lot of players don't know that it's very, very tough for footballers when they finish up playing, and especially with what you said as well, no qualifications and that. Very, very, very difficult. You see how, as you know yourself, the amount of footballers that get their badge, even when they go through all their badges and that, and UEFA badges, and they're like, well, there's still no jobs. Like, I've still got to apply for a job, and there's like hundreds of other footballers with the same, with this, all chasing that as well. Do you know what I mean? So it's very difficult. A lot of us in the public, a lot of people think, oh, as soon as they come out of football, they're automatically going to become a coach or a manager or no, because you've still got to apply for the job and compete with like hundreds of other players. So it's not difficult.
Level playing field.
Yeah, exactly. So at least you got yourself into something. Who's a bit of fun now? Who's the craziest character you've ever come across in the dressing room, Ryan?
Craziest character. Craziest character. As in on the pitch or off it?
Absolutely anything. Just do you know what? We'll go off it. We'll go off it because we all the public get to see stuff on the TV and highlights, and but we don't get to see things behind closed doors normally. So we'll go off it. Yeah.
Off the pitch, I wouldn't say he was crazy. I'd say he was eccentric and different, probably Bentner.
Lord Ben.
Yeah.
Why is that?
He was just different, mate. Like so I remember one time he said, I'm gonna be better than Shearer. And we were like, I think it was me, Fabrice Muamba, quite a few of us. We were like, look, we respect the confidence and the belief in your own ability, but like it's Alan Shearer, not everyone is going to score that amount of goals. So he was like, I'll score that amount of goals. And he just had this crazy innate belief that made you think he was crazy, but he actually believed it. So again, lovely guy though. Really, really enjoyed his company. I'd say probably him. But I've never come across anyone that's actually like just bonkers. Yeah, I actually can't recall anyone being like that, to be honest. But yeah, he was a good guy as well.
Yeah, it seems quite eccentric in the media as well. So it is a good choice. But look, I mean, I've interviewed a few footballers that have been, played past 2000s, and they've always been stumped as to that question as well, because the dressing room culture's changed massively since sort of 80s, which I don't remember, but 90s and stuff like that. You don't get the prank. I just don't think it's allowed anymore. Some of the stuff that went on. Some of the stories I've heard from people that I've interviewed from like that have played in the 70s and 80s, and I'm like, you could never ever get away with that these days. Honestly.
Yeah,
Yeah.
no, but I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it.
It's mental. So are you still doing the social media stuff then, Ryan? Or what is the future for Ryan Smith?
So now I'm working with some colleagues. We set up a football agency, a football representation agency. So we're looking after players here in England, out in America as well. Canada, various different markets, to be honest, just trying to pick a niche. But it's pretty good. Enjoy it. And we're in the thick of it, of course, with because anyone can be an agent. You just have to pay, but we're trying to do it properly, and we are, and it's going well so far. So that's the route I'm going down, and it was always the path I wanted to go down at some point. So yeah, this is what I'm doing at the
Brilliant.
minute.
Got what you want in the end. That's excellent stuff. You crack on and keep doing that, mate. I'm going to move on to, obviously, this is a Dial Cast for Dial Square Football Club. What are your thoughts on Dial Square, the whole fan-owned thing, and the alternative to Arsenal and stuff like that?
Yeah, I think it's different, it's positive. It's just it's his own thing. It's to be honest, like there's a lot of I think there are clubs in Germany or somewhere else where fans do the same sort of thing as well. But it's yeah, there's not too much I can sort of elaborate on, but fair play to the guys that are involved in it and help set it up, and it's good for the fans.
Fancy getting your boots on, Ryan, or is that a no-no now?
You never know. I could do. I could do. I
Oh,
could do. I don't mind. I don't mind. I could pop down and have a game. You never
well, if Andy Massiel's listening, Paul Jones listening in, there you go, right? Stuart, the chairman, anyone else on the board, all the fan owners, oh, they'll be excited to hear that. Ryan, I've absolutely loved having you on, mate. I've loved hearing your story. It's been a great story. Really, really enjoyed it. Thank you very much. Really,
Thank
really
you.
appreciate your time.
I
Time.
appreciate it. I appreciate you guys giving me the platform and the opportunity as well. So thank you
Not a problem.
guys.
What, by the way, what's your company called? Just to get it out there.
Sporting
Sporting
Talent.
Talent. Right, there you go, guys. So listening,
Yeah.
Sporting Talent. In case anyone's in that game at all, then you know where to go. So, social media at Dial Square FC1. Please give it a follow, retweet stuff, and of course follow at the Dialcast. That's a Twitter page for the podcast. Platforms you can catch us on are Anchor, Spotify, Google, and Apple Podcasts, as well as Pocket Casts and Breaker. I don't know anybody that has listened to a podcast through Breaker, but you never know. There might be one of you out there. Membership options. It's still available until the 31st of March. And what you get, £30, you will get your name in the Hall of Fame and your name on the brand new away shirt, which lasts for 2 seasons. So get your name in, get your membership in before the 31st of March and to own a piece of history, pretty much. If you'd like to become a member and have a say in how your club is run away, then please email Membership Secretary Jo Tester, and she can be reached by the email address joanne@dialsquarefc.com. It's well worth becoming a member. There are plenty of perks. You've been listening to the Dialcast. I'll be back next week with hopefully another very, very special guest. Ryan, again, thank you. Take care. Stay safe, and let's hope things get back to normal soon.
Thank you. Take care, guys.